Did Sly just come out and give himself up, or did the people go up and reason with him? Do you remember about that?
No, I don't. I don't remember just exactly how that was. But I really think that he gave himself up, is what I think. Because if he hadn't, there wouldn't have been anybody going up there against that rifle.
And the business there with his wife and daughter, was that a real fight that they were in?
I don't know. I didn't see it, but I had my guesses. I kind of thought that was put on to get him up there.
Where were you standing when this was going on in town? Where were you?
Well, it's down there by, there used to be a fruit house there. I don't know, there isn't any there anymore. Down there by the railroad track. There used to be a fruit house there, and I was just standing out from the edge of that. Down there by the depot.
And, where was Hayes when, he heard the fight between the breaking out with the girl screaming.
Well, I don't know where he was
when
he heard it, but he came running up there anyway. And, you know, Phil had not to say anything that they've heard, just what you see.
Yeah, but even so, most of the people that talked about it, they're all gone now. So what they said, well, even what you heard, I mean, that's important too, what people said. You can say it's not what you said, what you saw, but what you heard.
Well, I heard that this Sly and Hayes had an argument uptown, and this Sly had told him, "I said, I'll get you." I've heard that, but I didn't hear it myself. But I've just heard that people said that. This Hayes was always a shooting around town. It didn't seem like he's always kind of a trigger happy.
He liked to fire his gun?
Yeah. He just seemed like he kind of liked to use the gun.
You remember any times when he pushed people around?
Well,
or hearing about times?
What?
Or hearing about times when he did?
Well, there's one time there that they had an ordinance there in town that you couldn't ride nor drive faster than a walk through Main Street. And this, he was out there to grab everybody he could. And there's one guy that was going down the street, and he had an old scrappy bridle on his horse that didn't amount to anything. He was riding a little too fast, and old Hayes come out there to stop him, grabbed a hold of the bridle, and old Hayes slipped it over the horse, or the guy slipped it over, don't remember who it was, but he slipped the bridle off over the horse's head and threw the spurs to the horse and run over the top of the old man Hayes.
Come pretty near what?
Come pretty near getting him.
You went down in the mud, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. What?
He was always looking for something like that, you know. And he'd holler, and he's always a-shooting. One time my aunt thought that she got scared. She thought she was going to get hit. She was going up the street, and the old man started shooting. He was shooting at somebody. I don't know who it was now. He was a character, that guy.
I got one more question about that business, the shootout there. How far above the railroad depot was Sly's house?
Well, I don't know just exactly. Well, the house, I think, is still there. It's a house sitting up on the hillside there. That used to be outside of the city limits. And it was at that time. It was outside the city limits.
Does that mean that Hayes had no right to go out there?
Well, I don't know whether he did or not. Yeah. I don't know what their rulings was on that then. But this, I always figured this Sly was a pretty decent sort of a guy. But you know, there are a lot of people can be pushed just a little too far. You know that.
You told me that there are a couple of times that Hayes had run-ins with Joe Wells.
Yes, he did. Well, he didn't just... Well, he did have a run-in, too. The time that he came out there to get that Benson that used to live up there, he came out to get him. And this guy saw, this Benson saw him coming, and he slipped out and come up to Joe Wells's place. And Joe and Hayes knew that they were good friends, so he just took a hunch that this Benson was up there, and he come up to get him. And this Joe Wells told him, asked him if he was going to come in and search the place to get him. And Joe Wells said, "You got a search warrant?" Said he didn't have to have one, or something similar to that. He was going to come in, but when this Benson came up there, old Joe Wells gave the boys and his wife a rifle apiece and had them placed where he wanted them. And he told the old man Hayes that he wasn't going to come in there. And they was waiting for him. If he had tried to come in, I guess they would have shot him. And another time, this Benson and him was town.
Benson and Joe Wells.
Yeah. And they've been drinking a little bit. They drank pretty heavy, both of them. And they got ready and started to go home. And they was on their horses going home, and the old man Hayes jumped onto his horse and took after them. Got out there and he got started, wanted them to stop and started shooting. And Benson got scared and stopped. And the old man, old Joe Wells was laying over on the side of his horse, heading for home, but when Benson quit and went back, well, he went back too and made old Hayes turn loose.
He made old Hayes turn loose, huh?
Yeah.
Wonder how he did that.
I don't know. Old Joe Wells had the kind of a way of when he said things that they could tell that he meant it.
Was this Benson that you're talking about, John Benson?
I don't know what his given name was. He lived up there, Deary, up there, down over the hill there from where Joe Wells lived.
What kind of a guy was Joe Wells?
Well, my way of booking him, he was a first-class guy. He was a good guy. And he had been a slave one time. He was freed, and his old master gave him the name of Wells. That was his name. Gave Joe Wells the name of Wells. And then there's, in latter years, there was a couple of those Wells boys lived up there by Deary. And old Joe Wells and them were great friends. Visited back and forth all the time. Old Hayes had a habit of drinking with guys until get them drink a little bit, and then he'd arrest them for being drunk. Some of them asked him when he went to arrest him, "What's the matter? You need another sack of flour?" Ha ha ha. He was drinking with old Dick Sunderland there one time in the saloon when they had those long-handled goblets. And the old man had drank with him ever since he'd been in, all he'd drank. And then he was going to arrest him for being drunk. And old Dick Sunderland hit him over the head with one of those goblets, knocked him down. And he drug him outside. There's a liquor barn right next to it, and they had a well there. And he took the lid off the well and shoved the old man down in there and hold his head under him, was just about drowning him. They come and pulled him off.
Sounds like, for Hayes being such a tough guy, it sounds like he got his quite a bit.
Oh, there's some tough guys around Troy, too.
So did you ever hear tell of times when Hayes really beat up people? Marshal Hayes himself did?
Well, I don't know as I ever heard of him beating anybody. I think he's too big a coward for that. He'd shoot him if he got a chance.
So that's the kind of a guy he was.
Yeah.
That's why you don't hear much about him taking on people, because he didn't think he could take them, unless he shot them. Well, what about Lou Wells, Joe Wells' wife? What do you remember about her?
Well, I don't remember very much about her, in a way. Well, in a way, too. They had sheep up there, and she would take that wool and wash that wool, card it, make yarn, and knit socks for men. And she'd knit them great big and then shrink them. And she'd sell them for 50 cents a pair out of that wool, pure wool. And I don't know, I think she could have poured water in those socks and it'd have held.
Can I turn this down a little bit, this heater?
Yeah, well, no. Here, over there's a place to turn it down. Why, it's too warm in here, huh?
A little warm.
Well, just pull it over toward you. That'll cool her down.
You told me that she liked to beat on her wash tub?
No, it was a dish pan. You know, they didn't have waterworks up there then. And they just had the water and then they'd go out and throw the water out, you see. And she'd come back and beat on the bottom of the dish pan. And there was a fellow with me up there when I was driving that mail route by the name of Marvin Froman. And she'd come back a beating on the bottom of the dish pan, and he got up and started stepping her off in the middle of the floor up there. She got to laughing, and she pounded on that dish pan as she put her knocked all the skin off her fingers. Laugh? Says she's laughing every minute of the time.
She laughed a lot.
Yeah. But when she was beating on that dish pan, she was laughing when he was stepping her off out there.
So he started to dancing, huh?
Yeah, he was jigging, you know. And she was giving the time beat for it, you know, and he was just having the time, so was she.
Did you ever see her chewing tobacco?
No, I never noticed her doing that. I guess she did, though, put her all those Southern women did. I don't know for sure about her.
Do you remember what their house looked like? What the house was like?
It was a log house. Built of logs, you know. The old-fashioned way of building it.
it was also a lodging house, right? People stayed overnight.
I don't think that they stayed there at night so much, but see, they always served meals there at noon, I know, because when I was driving that mail route up there, that is our halfway house. We stopped there for dinner every day, going and coming.
Would they have many people there for the noon meal, or just you?
Well, and everybody that's riding the mail route with me. See, I haul passengers too, and they all got to stop there to eat.
Well, what would one of the lunches be? What would you have for lunch there? Be very big?
Oh, we'd have all we could eat, that's all. I could say, I couldn't remember just what it was. It was good cooking, too.
Well, tell me some about that old mail route that you had. Where did it go?
It went from Troy to Collins. It went out, the first stop was there at Nora. You know, there used to be a kind of a store and a post office there at Nora. And then we went on from Nora, we went to, I think the next stop was at Avon. And I had those little leather bags to the oilcloth bags to carry the mail, and they have a place up there where I could hang them on as I went by. And it went to Avon. We went out there and then went to Bear Creek, and then we went north up to the Avon. There's a farmhouse up there where the post office was. And then we came back, and then Anderson, right down there at Bear Creek, right where the bridge is across Bear Creek. You know where that old barn is sitting there? Well, there used to be a store building there, and that used to be the post office at Anderson. And then from Anderson, I went to Janesville. But on the road before I got there is where we stopped to eat dinner at Joe Wells's. Then we went to Janesville, and I had come back a little ways, and then the next stop after Janesville was Collins, the next post office. But all along the road, everybody along the road, they had their oilcloth sack. I had to leave their mail for them all the way along.
They'd leave that sack right by the roadside there?
Yeah, they'd have a whole little rig fixed up where you'd hang it on. And that's all the way up there. That's the way old Bovell used to get his mail, too. There was no post office there.
Did they have their name written on the sack, or did you just know who it was?
Well, they had their name written on the sack as a rule, but I knew just about whose it was anyhow from the sack. And old Abe Fry run the post office at Janesville. Or not Janesville, but it. Collins, and father to those Lawrence is there at Deary, run the Janesville post office. And I don't know who run, Anderson, I guess the fellow named Anderson run the Anderson post office, but I can't remember the one that run the one at Avon. Don't remember what their names was. They're the one at Nora. I don't remember who run that.
Well, what was the road like to travel on?
Terrible. there was no gravel at that time at all. In places where we put gravel now, they had corduroy, where it was soft and and muddy, you know. They'd take and put cut poles and lay them crossways of the road. And it bumpity bump, bump, bump all over that. And it was just an awful lot of that.
Were they laid down just one next to another?
Right. Yeah, just lay them right side by side. You can remember what that would be. You can know what that would be like. You didn't get up any speed limits or anything like that. It was a walk there, sometimes pretty slow.
Was it very muddy?
Sometimes. Some places went across where it's kind of swampy.
No places you had to swim, though, were there?
No, not when I was driving. But there was times in the winter when I was only there in the summertime during the school vacation. And in the wintertime, there sometimes, I guess, they had to leave the rig and take the horse and swim the creeks and everything else to get up there.
Well, did the roads follow close to the way they are now, or were they real different?
No, they're different. Quite a bit different from where they are now. There ain't very many places where it goes anyway, very close to it. No, when we got out there, when we went over to go to Avon, we went over there about to Dry Creek, and then took off. It used to be a sawmill back up there. And we'd go in there and go across, and then go down to Bear Creek from there. And it wasn't anyways near where the road is now.
How wide was it? Was it wide enough that two rigs could pass each other on it?
Well, if you look for the right spot, there was. It's mainly just a single road. But you know, you can put your always pull off. Let none of them by.
Did you run into many people using the road besides yourself?
Oh, quite a few sometimes. Sometimes there wasn't so many. Sometimes you wouldn't see anybody hardly from the time you left until you got back.
I think how different that country.
I tell you that at Beauvale, that was the prettiest place I ever saw. The first time I went up there, I thought we'd go in there just in the evening, you know. And there was those big meadows. There's meadows there, and those big tall trees that you just look way back to see to the top of them. And the cattle was coming in there bawling, you know. And I thought that was pretty. But they sure spoiled the looks of that country. Those little white pine trees, they were tall.
There was a natural meadow there at Beauvale.
Yeah. And then there was a natural meadow there at Collins, too. There's several little meadows up along that creek that goes up there. Several of them. I think that's the South Fork, or the West Fork of the Potlatch. Went up there.
Well, Beauvale, was he the only person right there at the town site at that time?
Yeah. He was the only one there then.
Oh, you were telling me too that when you got up there at the place that you stayed overnight?
Oh yes, I stayed there at Collins overnight. Then left there in the morning and come back again. That's up there where that Driscoll's have got their cow corral up there now. They got it all painted white up the other side of Beauvale, there on the meadow. That used to be the old Fry place, the Abe Fry place.
Where would you stay?
Oh,
at Collins.
Well, I stayed at people by the name of Clark, who had a cabin there close. That's where I ate, and I stayed in the slept in the barn. Old log barn. You hear the cougars holler once in a while.
Well, were there many other people around there, out that far at that time?
Well, there seemed to be there at Collins. There seemed to be more people live there than there was any place else that is close together there. That was the end of the road. That's from there on, if you wanted to go any further, you had to go horseback. And there was a lot of them that come up there and took their horses and packs and went back to their claims, timber claims, back in the mountains, back in around Clarkie and on back up in there. But that's as far as the road went. And I own Adair was one of them that had a claim on back up in there. She got went up there, went on horseback back to the back up in there.
You're telling me there were quite a few girls out there during the summers, huh?
Oh, yes. Dr. Dare's family and their friends. Oh, we had a good time up there.
About what time would you get in the afternoon on a trip?
We'd get in there just about dark, just a little before dark. I imagine in the wintertime the guys didn't make it before dark. Because they didn't have as long a day of it as I did.
So you'd get in there and you'd leave your... You put the horses, is there somebody to take care of them there?
No, I'd take care of them myself. Had the barn there and I'd get the feed them.
And the girls come out to meet you there?
Oh, no. the one that I had the most fun with was this Carrie McConnell. She was Bush's wife up there in Moscow. She was full of fun. Had a lot of fun with her. Her and Lula there were pretty good friends.
Well, how old were you then at that time?
About 15. I've had fun all my life.
didn't have dances or anything out there then, did they?
No, not while I was out there.
What do you think the kids did to entertain themselves? I mean, to keep themselves busy during the summer?
Oh, I don't know if it's up there. You know, it's a nice place up there in the woods along that meadows and stream and run up in there. There's a lot of fishing going on. Lots of good fishing there. And of course you get a bunch of kids together, they can always entertain themselves. You know that.
What kind of hack did you have? Did you use?
Well, it's what we called a hack. It was two-seated hack. Two horses on it. Well, about all there is to tell about it, I guess.
Well, I'm sort of curious too about what was going on along that route. Was there much clearing up of land going on then? Was there much logging?
Oh, not so much. No, there was no logging at all. And they just, if they wanted to clear up some ground for putting in hay, they just cut the timber down and burned it. Many thousands of feet of good saw timber was just burnt up and to get rid of it.
Well, at the time you went up through there, was there very much of it had been cleared, even along alongside the road?
And not very much. Just little patches of the road. And right where Deary sits now, there was, out in there, there was a kind of a, well, they had Timothy in there, and those big trees, they'd girded those big trees and killed them. They were standing there, those white trees out there, and Timothy, they raised Timothy in around there, they cut that Timothy and sell it. That's where Deary's sitting now. And the road went up by up there where the schoolhouse is. That's where the road went through. Went right on straight through. You can see where it's there now, where the road goes through there. That there was, that's the way we went through. But then they got the road on this other side. Now, the main road. And that road went right up through past Joe Wells's place and on down over the hill to Benson's.
Well, were these people getting by just by doing a little bit of farming at that time?
Well, I don't know what they was doing. I think the most of them was getting by that way. They'd clear up a little patch of ground, have some timothy, and they'd sell it. They'd have some cattle that they'd sell.
Oh, what's this business about the Nora being a tough place? I've heard that a couple of places.
I don't know anything about that, about Nora being tough, but it used to be a sawmill right there in Nora. They called it the Pond Mill. It was just out this way from where the Nora is, right out there in that little clearing out there. Used to be a sawmill there. When you get down that close, why, there's quite a little sawmills and things like that. And old Dahlberg used to have a sawmill out a little west of, well, it's down there, right down there where the road used to make that turn and go across the bridge. His sawmill was right down in all that. But I never saw it running very much.
Did you tell me that the Dahlberg girl once stopped a fight?
Yeah.
What's that story?
Oh, it was a drunken brawl. A couple of guys got into kind of a fight, and one of them was going to shoot the other, and the Dahlberg girl put her hand down in front of the hammer.
Do you think that there was a lot of fighting going on in Troy? Because it was I've heard that it was a lumber town, a tough town around the turn of the century.
Well, there used to be about one a year average being killed there. But I wasn't around to that part of it very much. But I'd hear about it.
Do you think that Joe Wells had a real, did he have a reputation for being a tough guy, or was it just a guy not to rile, or?
Well, he didn't have any tough name. He was a good guy. I never heard of him being so tough. In latter years, he had a logging camp up in there. I don't know much about that. I saw a picture of it one time where he had his logging going on.
Did you say to me when we were talking about him before that he was as white a man as you ever saw?
Well, he was. He was white inside. If he was your friend, he was your friend. All the way. You know, you can't judge a man from the looks of his skin on the outside. It's what he is inside.
Are there any other guys like that stand out to you, like him or Marshall Hayes, or people that really, real characters?
Well, I don't know. You could call him Joe Wells a character. I always figured him as a good guy, not as a character.
Well, I didn't mean that as something bad at all. I just meant as a character, somebody that stood out, and I think Joe did from what
I
heard.
Yeah, he did. Those Swedes and Norwegians would get in a fight up there, and they'd say, "Oh, Joe Wells is the only white man there was in the country."
Did you ever hear about a fight? I have heard a couple of things about this, and I haven't been able to get the story straight, which is that there was some kind of a fight. And I've heard Bob Clem was one of the guys, but between him and a Negro in Troy in somebody's cafe.
No, I never heard of that.
Well, it doesn't matter. What about the fire in the Reitman's saloon?
Well, that was a set fire. And a fellow by the name Knutson had that building rented from old Charlie Reitman, and they had his saloon in there. And I don't know what the deal was, but this Knutson hired a fellow by the name of Henning to set fire there, to burn it out, to get his insurance on his stock that he had there. And old Henning gave up, and he come around to old Charlie Reitman and wanted to shake hands with him. Old Charlie Reitman told him to shake hands with yourself. You damn near killed Feeney.
Feeney?
Yeah, his wife's name was Fanny, and he called her Feeney. He didn't want anything to do with him.
Well, how did that one come out? Do you know that he'd have done that?
Well, I think both of them went to Penn for it. I don't know for sure. I didn't always learn all that kind of stuff.
What about fruit growing around the town of Troy? You were telling me last time that was a pretty big operation for a while, huh?
Yes, it was. Up on top of the hill, going out toward the ridges going out toward Kendrick, that whole thing up there was orchards up on top of the hill there. They're farming it now, but before this is in the orchards that. Oh, I don't know just how far it went, but then even down on the ridge, down on Driscoll Ridge, the people down there had a lot of orchards, and they'd bring all the fruit in there to Troy and stored it there at the warehouses, fruit houses that they had built there. And there was just a lot of it. There was a lot of cherries, too. Cherries, peach plums, pears, apples.
Where do you think they went to mostly?
They shipped them east, mostly. And I don't know. There was an awful lot of fruit raised around there for a while. Prune orchards, and they had these prune dryers. They didn't ship any prunes, I don't think. They dried them and shipped the dried fruit. And down there by the where the Idaho Bean and Elevator Company, there used to be a prune dryer there. And the Nazarene Church used to be a prune dryer. And I know that Johansson out north there, he had a prune dryer out there. And then there was some more. Well, there's one down on the ridge down toward Kendrick that I know of. And then there's two or three of them up in north what used to be Cornwall. There's some of them up in there that I know of.
Well, what do you think happened that all ended?
They got so they could make more money raising wheat than they could raising fruit, I think. And then there's so much, they had to do so much spraying to get rid of those worms, you know. And it was extra work, and you know people don't like to work too well. So they did something that's easier.
Were the seasons pretty hard on it sometimes? Did they have failures very
often? I don't know about that.
Because I know even now in Lewiston they got failures with the peaches sometimes.
Oh, I know, but peaches and apples is two different things. And those prunes, it takes quite a lot to kill the prunes, the crop, the way I remember it. I got some prune trees out here in my backyard now. They take quite a bit of beating.
You said that your father was involved with that warehouse business for a while?
Yeah. My uncle, Will Duffy, and him was in partnership there for a while. They were brother-in-laws, you know. You know how brother-in-laws get along. Yeah, they had run the warehouse there where they had the fruit. We used to pack cherries there to ship there at Troy. You know what they'll do for a fellow when they keep eating them all the time. I packed cherries and made cherry boxes. Nailed them up. There's some people I would like to know where they are. And that's the Eves girls that used to work there packing fruit.
Did the family leave the country?
They've gone somewhere. I can't find anybody that knows anything about them.
How did your folks come out anyway? Where did they come from? And
they come from South Dakota. I don't know. They just, South Dakota was kind of tough. They was hunting for a better place. They found it. My dad and my mother's folks and Duffy, they all come out about the same time. All together, you might say, I guess. They brought me out here before I was a year old. That's a good while ago. They used to be quite a lot of fruit raised down on the Driscoll Ridge down on the lower end. A lot of it comes from up from down there.
I suppose that fruit was going real good before they had a lot of their land cleared too, huh?
Before the fruit done pretty good until the worms got started to come in too bad. Then they had to be so careful, all they'd raise are worms.
Do you remember the old threshing fires they used to have? Were they threshing when you were here and you were young?
Oh.
Out on the ridges, I know they had to really watch that for a while.
Oh yes, there was a good many of those down in there. I worked mostly when I was with the threshing I went out to Endicott. Went out there and worked in that headed grain. Drove Derek for the threshing outfits when I was about 14.
Do you get to go back very much to Troy in that area?
I go up there fishing. That's where I do most of my fishing, up at that Spring Valley Reservoir. You know where that is.
Sure.
You know, the Arnetts, all the Arnetts are a relation of mine. They're Troy. Used to be some Duthies around there, but they're not there anymore. My uncle went to Lewiston and they had that seed outfit down there at Lewiston, Duthie Seed Company. Now he was in the bank there for a while, but Clarkston too, I think.